Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
The title of my message this morning is Check Your Connection. Check your connection. Has anyone ever tried to play a movie, a DVD? Maybe you're trying to Chromecast something from your phone and it just won't play. You know, maybe it was when the DVD player first came out. Maybe it was when you started Chromecasting and you started playing the movie and it's like right into the climax of the movie and then the little circle just starts spinning, buffering. It's so frustrating. Or maybe you're watching the live stream right now and you're watching and then suddenly it... And then it just sort of jumps over here and it's just buffering and you skip these little bits. It's so frustrating, isn't it? Yep, you know what it's like. Or maybe you've been on the phone to someone, you're talking, having this great conversation, you're all in this big in-depth conversation and then you drop. Maybe you've got the hands-free, of course, on and you're driving and suddenly it's that. And I was really impacted. And would you just pray for me? And you're thinking, I don't know what I'm praying for. Or it's just so frustrating when the connection is cut off at times. I was talking to someone through the week who's in another country and they've got a power issue that any day, at any given time, the power just goes out. And that's just what you expect. And then you have some more a cappella singing like we were doing just before. And you don't have any instruments. Well, you might have an acoustic guitar, but the power just goes out. The heating goes out. How terrible would that be? Thank you, Jesus, for a reliable power source in our nation. Today is Pentecost Sunday, as the day we celebrate and remember the coming of God's promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit being poured out for us 50 days after the Passover, the day of Pentecost came. And just as Jesus died and was resurrected around Passover, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And we celebrate that. We remember that today. As Mike's encouraged us already. In fact, you've done well. You've managed to use the verses I'm not using. So thank you, Lord, for that. We're going to open our Bible to the book of Acts. And we're going to read from chapter 1 of the book of Acts. But how about we just pray first before we jump into that this morning. We're going to read a bit of the Bible this morning. So, Lord God, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit, that you have not left us alone. You have not left us as orphans, but God, you have empowered us. You have sent your Spirit. You have come for us to empower us, to lead us, to help us live lives that honor you, God. And God, we thank you for all the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit that you bring into our lives, Lord God. We thank you, God, for helping us to live this life for your glory. And Lord, we just pray that you would speak into our hearts today, God, that you would, Lord, cut off the lies of the enemy, the things that we have maybe believed or have blocked us from receiving or enjoying the fullness of life that you have come to give us. I just pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us in our hearts and our minds, Lord, this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read together from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 4 to 11. It says this: Once when he, being Jesus, was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" Let's be honest, they were a little confused about what that looked like still. He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, in Colac, in Timboon, and Cobden, and wherever God leads you, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. praise God, Jesus is coming back. He is the risen Savior, and He is coming soon. And whether we see it in our lifetimes or not, it's probably for all of us, it's only a matter of 80 years, and we'll be there standing before Him. And He is a returning King and Savior. And you know, it's no accident the things that happen as we look at the stained glass windows behind me. Jesus coming into Jerusalem and them crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, as they wave the palm branches, believing that He was the Messiah. But then just a few days later, they said, crucify Him, crucify Him, and He was nailed to the cross. But Jesus overcame sin and death. He didn't start an earthly kingdom like the people expected. And then 50 days later, He ascended into the clouds. He went to be with the Father that He could send the promised Holy Spirit to us. Can I just say though, sadly, through history, the very gift that God gave to empower us and unite us as His people has been a topic of division and disagreement and even persecution in the church. It's so sad. Jesus promised this gift of the Holy Spirit. He commanded the disciples not to go until they received it. So today we're going to ask the question. We're going to look at who is the Holy Spirit? What has He come to do? We're going to look first of all at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7 to 18. For those who are taking notes, you want to write down the verse reference, 7 to 18. It says this, the old way, the old covenant, with law etched in stone, led to death. Though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face. For his face shone with the glory of God. It was supernatural. It was spectacular. Even though the brightness was already fading away. Shouldn't we expect a far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way which brings condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new which remains forever? Stay with me. There's a lot of this than the old, new. They're doing well. Verse 12. So since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their mind so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil and they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord who never has batteries that go flat. Thank you, Jesus. His connection never runs out. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Can you even begin to grasp what He's saying there? The gloriousness of what God has done through Christ by His Spirit, we cannot fully understand and comprehend what He has done. Point number one this morning, why did He come? So that we can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. The glory of God in heaven who created the heavens and the earth has reached out to us so that we might know Him, that we might be filled with His Spirit, that we might know His glory and reflect His glory to those around us. It is, our minds should be just unable to comprehend. We cannot comprehend the magnificence of what He has done. The beauty of what He has done. That a sinner like you and I, we could know God and reflect His glory. John 16 verse 8 talks about when He comes, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. Praise God that He convicts us of sin. By His Spirit, He convicts us of sin. And you know, even as believers in Christ, when you do something and it was the wrong thing and you go, oh, I feel terrible, I feel woeful, praise God for that feeling. Because God is drawing you away from sin and death. Praise God for the gift of the Holy Spirit, which convicts us of sin and righteousness and judgment, that we might see the glory of the forgiveness of Christ. That we might know His grace and His mercy and just turn and praise Him because He deserves it. It says how gloriously the old way began. Moses, his face shone. He radiated the glory of God. God's glory covered him. It was supernatural. It was wonderful. But those laws etched in stone could not save anyone. But now there is a new way. And life by the power of the Holy Spirit, it says in verse 8. Through believing in Christ, verse 14. The veil is removed by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can see and know God's glorious love and power in our lives. Praise Jesus. Praise God. Point number two, who is the Holy Spirit? He is the Lord. He is God. Verse 17 says, the Lord is the Spirit. He is the Spirit of the Lord. John chapter 16 talks about the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth, the advocate. Actually, let's read from chapter 16, verse 13. I should move across this way a bit. There you go. When the Spirit of the truth comes... Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory, Jesus speaking, by telling you whatever He receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever He receives from me. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He only speaks truth. He reveals truth. He reveals it to our heart. He convicts us of what is true. 1 Peter chapter 1 talks about this, it being the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 1 verse 4 talks about the Spirit of holiness. He leads us to live a holy life. He's the Spirit of life in Romans chapter 8 verse 2. He brings life. He leads us into life. He is the one who in the beginning, the world came into being through the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14 talks about the eternal Spirit. He is eternal. He is God. In Genesis chapter 1, right from the beginning, we see God choosing to create humanity, to bring life into the world. He says, let us make man in our image. Who's the us? Who's the our? It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These three are one. It's the Trinity. God, three separate persons in the one Godhead. And if that's really confusing, you're there with many others in human history that have struggled with that concept. The most simple way I can think of to explain it, and we've talked about it in kids' church before, it's like an orange. You've got the peel, you've got the juice and the flesh, and there's no orange that doesn't have one. Well, unless it's really, really bad orange, it doesn't have any juice, but... Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 15 for a moment. John chapter 15, reading from verse 1. Again, Jesus speaking. He says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and He prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Does anyone look back at their life and go, yep, I've had some pruning through the years. It was enjoyable, wasn't it? No. It's never enjoyable as you... Anyway, that's another verse. Verse 4. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. There's a verse to Keep us sober-minded. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you. Maybe you should read that again and just say, I appointed, insert your name. I appointed, I won't say anyone's name. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other. Jesus says, remain in me and I will remain in you. The disciples at this point couldn't possibly understand what this looked like. God's desire was and has always been to live with humanity. In the garden, in the very beginning, he wanted to live in relationship with the people, with Adam and Eve. God wants to live with us, to dwell with us, for us to be aware of his presence. And what does he say? He says, remain in me and you will produce much fruit. I've told you these things so that you'll be filled. I love this bit, that you'll be filled with my joy. You know, as we are pruned, as we remain in him, as we listen to his spirit and we live according to his ways, we are filled with his joy. And he says, love one another. Don't do it as a slave. Don't do it as someone who's been forced to love. Do it out of love. Serve one another. Lay down your life for your friend. Lay down your life for one another. Serve out of love. I heard someone just saying this week about something that they've felt God calling them to do. They're like, I never wanted to do this, but I just feel like God told me I have to. And I turned to them and said, guess what? I never wanted to be a pastor, but I just felt like God told me that I had to be one. It's just the door and the opportunity that God has given to us to serve his people and to serve him. What is the opportunity that God has given you to love his people? Maybe you never planned to go that way, but what is the thing that God has called you to serve in? He says, this is the evidence of someone who is a child of God. This is the evidence of someone who's filled with the Holy Spirit, who's remaining in Christ, and the Spirit of Christ is in them, that the fruit of the Spirit would abound in their life, that we would love one another. How does it say the world will know us? By our love for one another. That is the evidence of the Holy Spirit-filled life. You know, God gives us gifts of the Holy Spirit. He gives us, but if it doesn't cause us to love one another, it is meaningless. I'm jumping ahead of myself. What are the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Let's have a look at Galatians chapter 5 for a moment. Verse 16. He says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires. Thank you, Jesus. The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your own good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. It's not about our passions and desires anymore. It's, Christ, what do you want me to do? We're a bondservant of Christ. I'm no longer doing what my sinful nature craves. Lord, lead us in your desires. Verse 25, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. What is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? It's a renewed, servant-hearted life. It's loving others as Christ has loved us. It's love, it's joy, it's peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. As we think about this Holy Spirit-led life, the fruits of the Holy Spirit flowing in and through us, I just want to turn to 1 Corinthians for a moment. We're going to just do a very brief look over a couple of the chapters in 1 Corinthians, how Paul addresses these different topics in 1 Corinthians. In chapter 10, he gives instructions on Christian living, on not worshipping idols, on not giving in to temptation, and all these other things about personal Christian lives. And then in chapter 11, he goes on to talk about public worship, about the Lord's Supper, about not being divided and waiting for each other as we eat and drink around communion and not feasting and while others go hungry. Then in chapter 12, he gives instructions on spiritual gifts. And he encourages all the members of Christ's body to use the gifts that God has given, to desire the gifts of the Spirit. He says we're all different, but we can all be used by God. We are all a part of the body. Then we have this interesting transition out of chapter 12 into chapter 13, the chapter all about love. And he says, it's all about love. If we can do anything we want, we can conquer the world, we can do anything, but if it is not out of love, then it is meaningless. We're like a clanging gong, just driving everyone crazy. It's about love. Paul reminds them in the middle of all this teaching about Christian living and the being the body and sharing spiritual gifts, he says, but don't forget, this is all about loving one another. And then he gets to chapter 14 and he says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives. In fact, let's read the passage there in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 to 4. He says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but the one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. Church, as we love each other, as we seek to be a blessing to one another, we should desire the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are for the encouragement, the comfort, and strengthening of the body of Christ. And if we're not using those gifts, if we're not seeking those gifts, I believe there's a part of our encouraging, there's a part of our strengthening and our comfort that we're missing out on. Let's seek those gifts. Let's ask God to give us words of knowledge, words of prophecy for one another. And can I just encourage you that the gifts have been given to the church. And the church is not a building. The church is not just us on Sundays when we're here in one place. The church is the people of God. And so many of us, I think, in the Christian church, let's not just say us here today, but let's say us as Christians in general. So many of us, I think, we think of spiritual gifts and we think of Sunday morning between about 10 and 12. Like that's like the spiritual gift hour. And it's right, we should see the gifts of the Spirit flowing as we gather together on a Sunday morning. But can I encourage you not just to think of the spiritual gifts just as a couple of hours on a Sunday morning? In fact, it's not even a 10-minute window between communion and the message when the songs go a little bit quiet and that's when the gifts of the Spirit can flow. Please, I want to encourage you, seek God for the gifts. We want to see the gifts of the Spirit flowing in the church as a body when we meet together. And over the last few years, we've encouraged people to come forward and share those words. We've been aware over the years as we've grown as a church that half the church was hearing messages and the other half were going, what's going on over there? I can't hear anything. Please share those words. Speak it out in your big boy voice, in your big girl voice. Or if you haven't got a big voice, come and ask for the microphone and we can let you share that message. Speak out that word of tongues within and wait on God for the interpretation. But are we listening for those words of the Spirit? Are we seeking, are we desiring those gifts of the Spirit to strengthen and encourage and comfort one another? And for those of us who are listening, I want to encourage you to do what it says in verse 29 of chapter 14. Evaluate what is said. Weigh it up. Is this helpful? Does this align with God's word? If it doesn't, throw it out. Don't listen to it. If it's encouraging, if it's helpful, if it's strengthening, fantastic. Praise God for that. And can I just encourage you? What's a great pastor once said to me, Andrew, eat the fish and spit out the bones. Because every message comes from a messenger. And you know, some people have really, the kids pass me things at times and they've had banana all in their hands and you get the thing that you wanted and it's just covered in banana. Or at times there's fingerprints on the message. Do you hear what I'm saying? And people bring a message from God, but sometimes it has a little bit of their own fingerprints sort of impressed upon it. Eat the fish and spit out the bones. Hear what God is wanting to say and say, God, what is the word that you have for me in this? Don't be offended by the bones and the fingerprints. Don't be put off. Don't throw out the fish because it's got some bones in it. Hear what God has to say, because we do not want to be people who refuse to receive the prophetic. Or we will miss out. But church, let's also not limit God to Sunday mornings. God's Spirit never leaves us. He's with us 24/7. If you know Jesus as your Savior, God's gift of the Spirit is for you. Ask God to speak to you. Ask God to give you that word of encouragement, comfort, and strengthening. If you're trying to weigh up, God, is this from you? Is it strengthening for God's people? Is it comforting? Is it encouraging? If it's not, you better go back and pray some more. And church, you can bring it on a Sunday morning. You can bring it before the service. You can share it with that person you feel God's giving you a word for. You can share it after the service over a coffee. You can catch up through the week and share it with that person. And can I even say you can share it at work? It sounds like that ad, but I won't go there. No. Just remembering what the ad is. Can I encourage you? You don't even have to say, I feel like God's saying to me before you share that word. In fact, I want to challenge you not to say that. As you go to work and you share that word that God's put on your heart for someone, maybe you feel like God wants to encourage them. Maybe you just want to say to them, hey, I feel like maybe you need some encouragement. Can I just say, I feel like whatever it is that God's saying to say to the person, and if they look at you and go, what are you talking about? Like, that is not me at all. Then you take the credit and just say, my bad, I'm sorry. But if they say, oh my goodness, how did you know? Well, then give God the credit. Don't just blame God when you get it wrong. Don't throw God under the bus. Share what you feel God's asked you to share. And then if they say, wow, thank you so much, you can say, well, actually, that was from God. Whew, thank you, Jesus. We don't have to say, thus saith the Lord. God says, go and do this thing. God says, do that. Just share what God is encouraging you to say and say, I don't know how that feels to you. Does that sound right? And give God the credit where he deserves the credit. But when we mess it up, let's cop it. Let's receive that encouragement. God is a supernatural God. He loves us and He's given us His gifts by the Spirit. Why? So that we can encourage, support, and comfort one another as we seek to love one another for God's glory, that He would be praised, that He would be lifted up in our city, nation, and world for God's glory. Just really briefly, Mike's already mentioned this a little bit, but what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that He gives to us? Personally, there's that prayer language of tongues that we can pray when we don't know what to pray for. And so often I find it's as I pray in tongues, as I just am encouraged myself in the Spirit, it's when I pray and just ask God to speak to me, it's often in those moments that God gives me a message in the Spirit for somebody. And those messages for the body, those gifts to the body, as it says in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11, it talks about prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, gifts of faith, gifts of healing, miraculous gifts, discerning of spirits, messages in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And if you look at the language of that passage, that the language is really these gifts are given not to a person just to have a gift all the time. These are gifts that are given in a moment to people as we seek God. Any one of us can receive these gifts and share it with the body of Christ and with other people. He says, desire the gifts. I'm going to ask the band to come and I'm going to wrap this up. Two last verses I want to read. Actually, I've got the wrong verse there, I think. Sorry, Josiah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. I better find the right verse. I've got the wrong one there. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are Geelong supporters and some watch cycling, some watch gardening, some hate public speaking, some love doing kids ministry, some love meeting new people, some run away when there's a new person coming. No, they don't do that, do you? Some are slaves and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Praise be to God. We are united as the people of God. We are the people, the body of Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit to be for His glory. That we might see and reflect the glory of the Lord. Do you believe it? God's glory, just as the glory of God came upon Moses and it was supernatural, it was extraordinary. God wants to shine and radiate out of us as His people as we love and serve Christ together. Church, check your connection. Are you desiring God to fill you day by day by His Spirit? I find it so interesting as you read through the book of Acts, it says different ones at times filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like they'd already been filled. Why do you need to tell us that? Because I think we get filled and then we pour out and then we need filling again and then we pour out and we get filled again. And there's seasons where I just feel empty and I just say, God, fill me again. And church, I want to encourage you today, check your connection. Ask God to flow and fill you this morning, to refresh you, to renew your spirit, to fill you again. One last passage from Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, since God chose you, it's no accident, God has chosen you. People at home watching online, God has chosen you to be the holy people He loves. You must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its realness, its richness, fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Let's do it all for the glory of God. Let's love like our life depended upon it. We don't earn our salvation, but we respond to our salvation. And let's love one another. Let's use the gifts. Let's ask God for the gifts that we can love each other in a greater and greater way. Let's stand and let's just pray together now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we just thank you so much that you have not left us as you ascended into the heavens and said, I'm coming back. I thank you, Jesus, that you ascended into the heavens and then sent your Holy Spirit to empower us, to lead us, to help us, to unite us as your people. And God, I pray that you would help us to love one another. And God, as different parts of the body, at times in our physical body, we get sore joints and there's issues in our physical body, Lord. And at times in our church body, there's irritations and little aggravations, Lord. I just pray, God, that you would help us to love one another. Lord, that we would be united by your Spirit, that, Lord, we would seek you and that you would give us those words of encouragement for one another. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just encourage you as we sing this song just to cry out to him and say, God, fill me again. Refresh me this morning. Maybe this morning you'd like someone to lay hands on you and pray for you. In Acts chapter 8, it says, as they laid hands on the believers, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you would like God to touch you in a fresh way and that you might receive the gift of the Spirit in a fresh way, maybe you just want to be filled again, I encourage you to come and just let someone lay hands on you this morning as we pray. But let's just ask God, fill us afresh that we might be your church, your people that you desire. In Jesus' name, amen.